So potential drug-to-drug interactions with CDK4/6 inhibitors can be a little bit complicated, as drug-to-drug interactions always are. Strong CYP3A inducers, certain antibiotics such as the rifamycin class, rifampin, rifabutin, what happens is you get reduced exposure of the CDK4/6 inhibitor, so we really should avoid use of these and consider alternative therapy. Same with some of the anticonvulsants. For strong CYP3A inhibitors, the opposite happens. We have increased exposure of CDK4/6 inhibitors. These are antibiotics such as clarithromycin, telithromycin, some antifungals, antiretrovirals, etc., or grapefruit juice. It's recommended to avoid concomitant use and consider alternative therapy. I think in practice, sometimes when patients have to be on these, it's reasonable to start with a dose reduction of one level if we are having to use them concurrently. And then also sensitive CYP3A subtraits with a narrow therapeutic index, I think, is relatively rare. And then also for the ribociclib, because we're monitoring QTC interval, some antiarrhythmics are not recommended to be co-administered with ribociclib, such as amiodarone, et cetera. So take-home points, I think that CDK4/6 inhibitors really should be universally adopted with ER-positive metastatic breast cancer. We've yet to figure out a population that particularly does not benefit from these drugs. Palbociclib and ribociclib, I kind of place in the same bucket together with similar, most significant side effect of neutropenia with regular CBC monitoring. I think it's important to note here, particularly for the community, that febrile neutropenia, despite the severity of neutropenia, is extremely rare, about 1%. So G-CSF is not recommended for these patients, nor is it necessary. Abemaciclib, GI toxicity, diarrhea, and fatigue. Again, it normally starts around the 1 week point of therapy. We can help with antidiarrheals at the initial onset of diarrhea. I make sure that my patients have Imodium at home, diet management, and certainly we can dose reduce if necessary. I think it's important that we've now had two different presentations about dose reductions with two different agents that show if a patient needs dose reduction, this does not affect their PFS, their response rate, or how they end up doing on drug. So I really would not hesitate to dose a patient for quality of life or, you know, if neutropenia is an issue, because it does not appear to affect outcome.